Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, October 24th, 2019. We have about 17 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, northeast winds 5 to 10 knots with gusts to 15, becoming north 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the north 2 feet at 4 seconds apart and west swells 3 feet high at 9 seconds. And today we're going to be talking about the weather. Every fall, Gordon McCraw, our Coast Community Radio meteorologist, who is also the emergency services director for Tillamook County, convenes a weather-related meeting of first responders and meteorologists in the Tillamook area. They all meet there to talk about our winter weather coming up. And some of the people who are there are from the National Weather Service in Portland. And so I couldn't be at that meeting today, so I asked Gordon if he could put together kind of a summary, if he could, about what's up next for us this winter in terms of weather. And so I'm going to share that with you today. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have one inbounder, we have 9 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 7 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our only arrival in the river today, I mean, these things can change, of course, but the only one that I know about right at the moment is the articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance. You see these come in quite a bit. They're Crowley Maritime-owned vessels. That's a Seattle-based company, I believe. They carry, tend to carry refined petroleum, and they are, instead of, they're a tug and a barge, but instead of the tug, as they have traditionally done for many years, the tug towing the barge on a long cable. And our articulated tug and barge rig has the tug and barge snugged up against one another. So the specially designed tug and a specially designed barge, and they're held together by a hydraulic system. So at any rate, it's sort of a newer technology, so to speak, in tug and barge, the ways tug and barge traffic works around the nation now. But especially here, we see these a lot here. She's arriving from Ferndale. She's headed for Portland Refined Petroleum, probably passing Astoria around 11:30 a.m. and arriving in the Portland area at about maybe 6 p.m. to her berth. In the Astoria anchorage, we have, we have the Dion. She's headed for Kalama to pick up wheat this morning from the Rice Island anchorage. That's a little bit east of Astoria on the north side of the channel there, opposite Tongue Point. So she'll be leaving around noon, arriving in Kalama around 5 p.m., and she is a wheat ship. Rest of our vessels are awaiting orders. The Emerald Star, the MG Sakura, the Pictor, the Genco Provenance, the Medi Newport, the Wise Young, and the Alpha Loyalty. So all these vessels are sitting in the anchorage, sitting pretty high in the water. They don't have cargo on board yet, which means that you can see a lot of that dull red bottom paint that's just above the surface of the water. That is the part of the ship that's generally covered when the ship is carrying cargo. So there's a big difference in the look of a ship that is generally coming into the river. We have some ships that come in with cargo on board, but most of them come in light and leave loaded. So you'll see them sitting kind of high. When they come down river, they're sort of hunkered down in the water, and you'll see much less of the side of the ship showing because it is sunk down in the water because of the weight of the cargo. And this is perfectly normal. Ships are designed to be this way. And in fact, a fully loaded ship handles much better at sea. It's much more stable than one that does not carry cargo. And that's why ships carry ballast water. So you'll hear about ships taking on water and discharging water if they don't happen to have cargo on board. And that comes with its own set of challenges because of invasive species that sometimes get carried from one place to another. So there are all sorts of rules about ballast water. But at any rate, that's a very long explanation about why the ships that you're seeing in the anchorage are sitting high in the water right now. And generally, our ships, the ships that are in our anchorages here on the Columbia are waiting to pick up cargo, so they are usually sitting high in the water. A few exceptions here and there, but mostly that's the case. Outbound ships are the Malto Hope leaving Kalama about 3 a.m., so she could pass Astoria outbound any time now, or she may have gone by already. She's got wheat on board. The Athena is leaving the port of Portland around noon. She's got soda ash on board. Used to make automotive glass. That's a very, very common cargo in the world. Leaving from around noon, passing Astoria, maybe around 6 p.m. outbound. The Liang Chao is leaving Longview. Pet Coke is her cargo, petroleum coke. She's leaving around 12:15. That would put her 12:30 or so, maybe 4 p.m. past Astoria outbound. The Amos Integrity is leaving Vancouver at around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound, then about 6 hours later. The Quest is leaving Longview with Wheat on board at about 2. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 5:30. I think she's got Wheat on board. The PRT Cahoe is leaving Vancouver. Copper Concentrate, I think, is her cargo. So leaving around 4 p.m., 6 hours later, you'll see her outbound past Astoria. And the Thor Fortune is leaving Longview. Wheat could be her cargo, 8 p.m., leaving there, maybe 11:30 past Astoria outbound. Well, let's talk about the weather. This is something that meteorologist Gordon McCross sent to me late last night, talking about what we might expect in terms of our weather forecast. And our weather comes to us primarily from off the Pacific, so I thought this was a good ship report topic. He titled this, "This Weather Guesser's Winter Weather Forecast." So I'll read this to you. So about this time of year, the question always surfaces, what kind of weather can we expect over the coming winter season? Among the usual indicators used by meteorologists are the irregular variations in winds and sea surface temperatures in the equatorial Pacific region. So it's just very interesting to realize that that weather patterns and temperatures elsewhere on the globe conspire to create patterns that affect us here. So those things, those surface temperatures in the equatorial Pacific region around the equator, they'll cause a shift in the upper level jet stream that pushes in our weather systems. If the water temperatures in this area are above normal, this is referred to as El Nino conditions, which favor drier and warmer conditions for our area. La Nina conditions, which is the other possibility, mean that the area is experiencing cooler than normal water temperatures, and that increases the chance for us to see cooler, wetter weather over the winter. The forecast for this winter season is for the area surface temperatures in that region to be what we call ENSO neutral. That's El Nino Southern Oscillation neutral. And if you read anything about ocean weather patterns, you've heard of that oscillation term before. So the ENSO neutral means that the winds and water are expected to be close to normal. This gives us an equal chance for below normal, normal, or expected to be close to normal. We could have above normal temperatures and precipitation in the Pacific Northwest. There's another player in these conditions, though, something called the Arctic Oscillation. This refers to the atmospheric circular pattern over the very cold upper latitudes of the Northern Hemisphere. So you have conditions at the equator and over the poles affecting our weather. Occasionally, the winds circulating around the Arctic get distorted and push the colder Arctic air mass southward. And then we'll get a real serious cold snap. You've heard of that before. So the Arctic Oscillation could cause a large dip in temperatures and the type of precipitation, snow and ice, that happens in our region. The National Weather Service did a study of the top 10 snowiest winters here and discovered that 6 of the last 10 occurred during ENSO neutral periods. On the reverse side, when looking at 20 snow shutout winters, 8 of those were ENSO neutral. So this gives us a 60% chance of lots of snow and 40% chance of no snow. So what does this really mean? Well, ENSO neutral conditions are expected to persist through the spring, giving us better odds of seeing above average temperatures and a near to slightly below average precipitation chance. We have better odds of seeing low elevation snow. However, we always can get big storms. So the answer for this winter kind of is, as usual, it depends. Our weather comes to us over the Pacific. There are a few weather stations out there, and most of them are ship-based, so they move around. So a few degrees of change in a storm or a weather system can miss us completely. So when people complain about why the forecast is wrong, it's because Mother Nature is at work, and she has her own ideas, and we don't always know what those are. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.